It doesn't take an extraordinary experience to make health feel like an extraordinary blessing. Even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
If you or a loved one is unsure about palliative care and what's involved, then listen here, because my guest is Dr. Michael Monghay. He's a board-certified family medicine practitioner at Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Monghay. Tell us a little bit about palliative care, and if someone is unsure, they think it sounds a little bit like hospice, they're afraid that it means end-of-life care. Tell us a little bit about serious illness and symptoms that can be better controlled through palliative care options.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. And, you know, surprisingly, the criteria to be able to have palliative care is relatively minimal. I think one of the main ones, however, is that you do have to have a serious medical illness, and that can be many different types. So usually when family members, you know, ask me, what is palliative care and how does it relate to hospice, you know, the good news is that pretty much most people, you know, if you're in the hospital, if you had some sort of acute illness or serious illness, you'll likely qualify just based on that criteria alone. But the main issue is really just to try to help with symptoms. So we try to focus with symptoms that may be uncontrolled. For example, patients with end-stage COPD or even early COPD might have shortness of breath, and we try different modalities to help them with the shortness of breath, or if patients are diagnosed with a cancer that's causing lots of pain either to bones or ligaments or their chest or abdomen, we focus just on trying to treat the pain symptoms. So, you know, every disease process will have some sort of symptom that comes with it. And if that symptom, unfortunately, is difficult to treat and the usual modalities or the usual physician trials have not been sufficient, that's where we can come into play and give alternatives to help out. And the difference is we don't focus simply on medicine. The nice thing is we'll also offer complementary medications or treatments, which includes, you know, meditation, aromatherapy, acupuncture, massage, as well as the usual Western medications. So it's kind of a more of a full circle psychosocial, spiritual assessment of their pain or symptom, and it kind of I feel like it's more comprehensive.
So it is more comprehensive, and they can have the curative treatment together with the palliative care.
Absolutely, I did mention that, but. One main issue that is sometimes concerning for families is that palliative care may exclude certain treatments, and that may be the case with hospice, that they're not able to get full curative treatments or that's no longer desired, but with palliative care, they're often open to pursue any kind of curative measure, even advanced clinical trials, and I do have patients often who are on clinical trials receiving medications that very few people are able to get. But it doesn't have any conflict of interest with palliative care. The focus of palliative care is really just to help improve the quality of life as much as possible. And we're starting to see a lot of studies actually coming out now showing that that's the case, that it really is a lot of evidence-based medicine showing that palliative care improves the quality of life and helps people live longer and better.
Dr. Monghay, who else besides the patient can benefit from palliative care?
Oh boy, that's really a special question because surprisingly it's the whole medical system. Physicians themselves, it's rewarding for us to be able to help patients. So physicians are very thankful, and we see that on a regular basis. We have physicians or consultants who are very happy that we're on the team and helping out the staff, nursing staff. We're often helping the medical system itself because a lot of times people are surprised, but, you know, when you get a chance to sit down with patients and understand what they want, the goals of a patient often align themselves with the medical system as a whole. I often find that patients and families and would often choose to have the goals of care, which are usually the most cost-effective and not as big of a burden for themselves, for the family, and for the medical system. So it's surprising that I often see that align. So the staff, the medical hospital, obviously the patient, I think is the person who benefits significantly, as you mentioned that earlier.
Their family and everyone else, really, caregivers
Absolutely.
Have such a really a tough time, and people don't give them quite enough credit when dealing with, you know, some really difficult diseases. Can palliative care still work if someone's at home?
Yes, there is palliative care services available with home health. And that's usually arranged through our case managers, social workers, because I see patients in the inpatient setting. But we often transition patients to home health with palliative care. We often transition patients to skilled nursing with a specialty that can focus on palliative care. And there are also outpatient palliative care centers. We haven't set up one here at Mission Hospital yet, but this is a very big field, and it's nice to get some continuity. So there are other places where palliative care can happen.
And does insurance cover this symptom management that you've been discussing, Dr. Monge? Because people worry that if they're getting extra care, and you even mentioned spiritual and emotional and, you know, meditation and things that are complementary. And is insurance on board with this?
Absolutely. So long as there's, you know, obviously shown benefit, and it's been proven that this is a modality that would help people, it is often covered. We here in particular have been able to get some grants, in particular by Allergans, to help out with, you know, specialty treatments like aromatherapy or massage or acupuncture. So we've done some extra effort on our part, but oftentimes many of these other modalities are, covered. But I think there may be some specific restrictions they would have to kind of ask in terms of their the healthcare providers and programs. So that I couldn't speak completely for everybody.
No, that was good. And you're a hospitalist, Dr. Monge. Explain to the listeners what that is.
So I think, you know, in my mind, I always see it as, and one of the reasons why I went to family medicine is I always wanted to be that physician who kind of saw patients in the clinic and then was able to go to the hospital and take care of them, kind of full circle. You know, you see them as a child, you help them with, you know, maternity, and you kind of see them until they pass away. And unfortunately, medicine's changed, and a lot of physicians who try to do that style of practice have been unable to. And there's been a big change kind of in the late 80s, early 90s, where physicians certainly started to focus more on either inpatient or outpatient, and the burden of doing both was just significant. And now we have people who are designed and who do special training just to work as an inpatient, and that's what I do. I enjoy the inpatient setting, and it kind of alleviates some of the burden of having to come back and forth from the clinic to the hospital.
So this is a really comprehensive, multidisciplinary approach, this sort of new brand of hospital medicine, correct?
Absolutely, yeah, and there's a lot of benefits. You know, we usually align with a hospital. There's certain goals in terms of trying to meet quality metrics and things that, you know, as an outpatient physician, you may not be as akin to knowing. So, for example, trying to reduce infections or reducing complications from being in the hospital and try to reduce, for example, blood clots that can be very common in hospital patients. There's all these other smaller quality goal metrics that a hospitalist will be more akin or more keen on keeping up with. It sometimes, you know, as an outpatient physician, you may not be able to kind of get that input.
And do you work with the patient's physician for whatever their particular chronic disease is? And do you work together so that they feel that you're an advocate for them?
Yeah, on a regular basis, when I admit a patient to the hospital, I do get in touch with their primary care physicians to get the background. And we try to have a level of communication that's open so that we can ask questions back and forth, because that is, you know, one of the downsides to hospice medicine is that we lose the continuity. We take as many measures as possible to reduce that miscommunication or absence of, and we do call them on a regular basis, and we do set up for discharge summaries, and we do try to call them on discharge to kind of give them the best up-to-date plan so that there's a smooth transition to outpatient care.
Speak a little bit more, Dr. Monge, about the emotional and spiritual and complementary medicine part of palliative care. You mentioned, you know, herbal medicine a little bit. You mentioned essential oils, you know, maybe aromatherapy, massage. What do these play a part? What do they do for us?
Well, you know, unfortunately, sometimes in Western medicine, we can underestimate, you know, the whole person. And the whole person, we have our physical and obviously, you know, the medical and receptor chemical-based areas where we can help people. But we sometimes underestimate the emotional and spiritual aspect of care. And all these other modalities are essentially tapping into that resource. You know, for example, just simple touch. You know, it's very clear when people are touched to get a massage, it helps stimulate hormones like oxytocin, things that we don't really talk about a lot, and that makes people feel better. You know, we have, you know, hormonal surges, you know, epinephrine and things that, you know, you can look at the science of it, but when it boils down to it, just the basic things like talking, listening, touching, and when you look at someone in the eye and they know you're really listening to them, caring for them, those things stimulate a different type of healing process that's beyond just the usual medications, receptors, and things that you would consider traditional Western. So all these other modalities kind of fall into that kind of realm. And, you know, that's the most valuable resource we can give people when you think about it. It really boils down to time and effort and just listening. And that's the ultimate resource we have to give is really time.
What a wonderful form of medicine. If you would, please, in the last 30 or 40 seconds for us, Dr. Monge, wrap up palliative care, hospital medicine, and just this comprehensive approach?
Well, thanks for this opportunity. And I think for me, really, it's we all start medicine trying to help people. And palliative care, for me, is just another avenue to do it. We want to give the best quality of care. And the amazing thing is that this is something you can do where you feel, you know, at the end of the day, you've really made a difference in people's lives. And we hear this on a regular basis. And I think it's really this total approach to person as a whole human, the spiritual, emotional, and physical aspect that is the future of medicine. And I hope that this is the way we start approaching medicine in the future, because it's time to move beyond just the traditional Western ideas of medications and try to encompass the whole person. That's what we're trying to do.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to mission4health.com. That's mission4health.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.